The scripture reading for today comes from John 3, 1 through 10. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to them, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Is it a plant? Is it a mineral? Is it an animal? These are the three classic questions that start off one of my most popular games to play in the car. 20 questions. And I like to play these guessing games with the girls, and we have evolved to where we play 20 questions quite a bit now, to the annoyance of Julia. We started off with I Spy, but after 100 miles of a car trip, there's only so much you can still spy within the car, right? And so to build up a little bit of kind of critical thinking, we moved on to 20 questions, and I think it's a great game, but it can really stir up some passionate arguments as well, I found. We all know that one person that, you know, you're trying to guess a table, and you run out of guesses and you don't get it, and the other person was like, "Well, a table is made out of wood, and a wood comes from a tree, so it's technically a vegetable." And you're like, and then you don't want to play with that person anymore. But if you ask the right questions and you kind of track them down the right track, you can generally kind of come to the right answer within 20 questions. In fact, really, there's only two ways to not win at 20 questions, is to not ask the right questions, or to ask the right questions, but to misunderstand the answers. If you start off with something already in your mind of what you think the other person has guessed, you will end up so far off the track, you're just spinning in circles. But what I found so interesting about 20 questions is they actually use the game 20 questions to help develop artificial intelligence in some computer systems. And you can actually play 20 questions on an app on your phone with your phone, and your phone will beat you most of the time. In fact, when they first developed the program in 2006, so you imagine how much it's changed in 13 years, at that time, in 2006, it had an 80% accuracy of guessing exactly what you were thinking within 20 questions. If you gave it 25 questions, it would guess up to 98% what you were thinking. So why is it a machine is so much better than we are at guessing what somebody's thinking? Because it doesn't start out with already thinking that it knows the answer. Our faith can be like that sometimes, that as much as we are defined by our questions, we're almost more defined by what we think the answers to our questions should be. And I feel like then that can get us spinning in circles sometimes. And in our scripture reading this morning, we come to this very thing. We come to Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the middle of the night and having almost this discussion of wordplay and kind of teasing and scolding of what it means to be born again or born anew. Now, you see, in this instance, as Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he actually comes knowing the answer to the first two or three questions, right? Nicodemus walks in the door and he calls him something. Do you guys catch what Nicodemus calls Jesus? He calls him rabbi. He calls him teacher. He's acknowledging Jesus' station. He's acknowledging Jesus' place in the community. But then he also acknowledges that on his part, as a teacher of Israel and speaking on behalf of his community, he says, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." So Nicodemus already has the answers that matter most, that point him in the direction of what he wants to know from Jesus. But Jesus throws him a curveball. He gives him an answer he doesn't expect. He gives him an answer he doesn't anticipate, and he doesn't know what to do with it, and he doesn't know where that answer is taking him. And so he just begins to spin in circles. And now, let us not get so critical of Nicodemus, because the fact of the matter is this is our faith as well. With as many questions as we come to Jesus, very few of us could actually explain what it means to be born anew or born again without using modern language that somebody has kind of gifted us. But even the sense of being transformed is still a mystery even to us today. And so Nicodemus' struggle is our struggle in this text as well. And Jesus' response to Nicodemus, this curveball that he throws him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Pastor Terry pointed out during the 9 o'clock service just what a wordplay this is, to be born from above, or to be born again, or born anew. The English, there's not really a great translation, and so she pointed out you kind of have to pick one or the other. And so the translators of this text, they went with born from above. Other translators, they might say born again. But Jesus is speaking something to Nicodemus. He's giving him an answer and a reply that points him in the direction of what all this means. But it's something Nicodemus can't quite grasp. And so what I think that we pass over so much in this text is the humor and the wordplay and almost the teasing that Jesus has. Because later on he talks about not knowing from where the wind blows or where it comes from, but only where the Spirit is, playing again on the word wind. He's almost teasing, or he's almost scolding Nicodemus with this wordplay, almost in a way of saying, if you're going to wake me up in the middle of the night, I am not going to make this easy on you. But he's pointing him to something deeper and greater that he cannot yet fully understand. That if we were in Nicodemus' shoes, we would be no better off in our grasp of what Jesus is trying to tell us. Because he's telling us something that has to be lived through. Something that has to be experienced. As Nicodemus is sure of everything that he's seen so far, now Jesus is asking him to take a step in faith, to experience what it means to be transformed. And that, I think, is where we trip so often in our questions and our experience of faith. Because if you just see the way that Nicodemus is struggling with this response, he's struggling with the literal. He's struggling with, what does this mean? How can I possibly change? How can I possibly do what you're asking me to do? Which is in no different than the responses we give Jesus when Jesus asks us to do something, right? But you also see what other questions are tripping Nicodemus up. Even the point of when he came to see Jesus. What will people think of me? What does it mean that I am even here right now? How often are we like Nicodemus, that we have the answers to the big important questions of knowing exactly where to find Jesus, of exactly knowing who Jesus is, and yet getting stripped up on the smaller questions? So what I love about the story of Nicodemus is that this is not the last time we will see Nicodemus. In fact, later on, when the authorities at the time are trying to deal with what to do with Jesus, Nicodemus arises as a voice of reason on the council to try to have some sort of trial, to have some sort of chance for Jesus to speak for himself. And then later on, when Jesus is crucified, it's Nicodemus who brings the myrrh and the aloe to treat Jesus' body before burial. And Terry pointed this out so beautifully in her sermon as well, that it says that he brings over 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe to treat Jesus' body. And so perhaps that's enough to make sure that Jesus' body is treated for a long time. But it comes with this excitement, this anticipation, that Nicodemus will receive an answer to this question that he asked, where at once he came in the middle of night, and yet now he is coming in the day to treat Jesus, that still Jesus in just 3 days will give him the perfect answer of what it means to be transformed, to be made new again, and to show us that it is possible for us too. Nicodemus is not done growing in faith yet. And neither are we. We ask such good questions of God. And I'm of the belief that we should never check any of our questions at the door, that we should bring every question we have of God and of faith to the church and to the community and to the scriptures, because God is big enough for every single one of our questions. But that we should also be open enough and willing enough to receive an answer that we do not expect, and that is asking us to do something that we have not yet wrapped our minds around how we can do, and to still walk out on faith with asking the good questions, but giving some acknowledgement to the brilliance and the cleverness of God, that as we are so focused on the literal answer of what we think God is going to say, that all around us God is weaving an answer of such beauty and such brilliance that we cannot yet imagine. An answer and a promise that will make all things new again. And that answer can begin to grow and to start with each and every one of us. Will you pray with me this morning? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for your word and your scriptures. That, Lord, store into us observations and lessons of what your life meant and what you mean to us, of what it means to be born again, what it means to be born anew or born from above. But, Lord, more than that, what you have shown us, even all around us, that we can be transformed, that we can be made new, and that we can be a part of the salvation of the working and the building of your very kingdom around us today. As we pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.